Month 8 investable ETR briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of August to the 31st of August 2023. I hope you will all find it interesting as we look closer at what is happening within Credit Exchange. Firstly, we will begin by looking at an asset finance originator and having a refresh on the core principles credit was built on. Next, we will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects the team are looking at. And there will also be our monthly segments on the Seaborn reports and the state of the European and global economies. Then we will look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it and some updates on credit. So now for our first topic, I will hand you over to Robert, who is a member of our trade desk.
Thanks for that, Ruby, and good afternoon, everyone. So for today's originator piece, we will look at a Northern Irish-based client who came to the exchange in early 2020. Most of the AETR trades we have profiled in recent briefings have been on the shipping side of the business. So I thought this month we would look at the finance of two very different types of asset. The originator in question is engaged in over 65 renewable energy projects in Ireland and the UK. And as everyone's aware, in today's world, organizations face increased pressures to embrace carbon neutrality and the targets for sustainability have become paramount. Between 2022 and 2030, the global green technology and sustainability market is forecasted to grow from a market size of roughly $13.76 billion to almost $62 billion in 2030. So huge growth is expected. The originator working in this market first engaged with us back in 2020 when Credit approved the refinancing of an existing anaerobic digester plant that was already producing ROC credits, which we can speak about in a moment. The total finance approved was 1.36 million euro, and this facility was divided with monthly AETR repayments over a 36-month period and an end-of-term balloon payment in the amount of almost 941,000 euro. Now in 2023, we are at the end of the initial AETR period, and the end-of-term balloon payment is due to either be settled, refinanced through credit, or financed through a third party. Our originator is very happy with the facility and the performance of the asset and how it has operated over the past 36 months. So rather than selling it to the owner of the farm at a market price, which would have been well above its current value, we agreed to finance it for a further 36 months. This application is currently in progress, and I'm confident that Trade Desk will support this and approve the refinancing. So the assets purchased in this case were an anaerobic digestion plant and a combined heat and power plant, both located under and overground on a farm in Craigavon, County Armagh. An anaerobic digester is an eco-friendly system that converts organic waste such as food scraps, animal waste, and agricultural residues into both biogas and a nutrient-rich fertilizer. It operates in an oxygen-free environment, allowing bacteria to break down the waste, producing methane-rich biogas, which can be used for energy and heat generation. This sustainable technology not only reduces organic waste disposal, methane emissions and odor problems, but it also provides renewable energy and valuable byproducts for agricultural use. The anaerobic digester has multiple sources of cash generation, one of those being the ROCs, ROC, or Renewable Obligation Certificate, which it generates on a monthly basis. These renewable obligation certificates are a financial support used to encourage the generation of electricity from eligible renewable sources. So the originator offers the ROCs generated to an exchange auction every month, and that exchange is operated by a company called ePower, who buy the ROCs at market value. Trade Desk obtained an assignment over the sale of these ROCs, so the proceeds of this monthly sale settles the AETR lease obligation of the originator. And during the lockdowns of the COVID-19 pandemic, we saw the use of anaerobic digestion plants by the multinational alcoholic beverage company Diageo. They had to move fast to make sure that millions of pints of unused Guinness didn't end up poured down the drain, potentially causing problems for the wastewater systems and also obviously wasting a high quality valuable product. So Guinness took back more than 600,000 kegs from Ireland and overseas markets, and they offered the unused Guinness to all the anaerobic digesters in the country, where it produced a biogas. And as a result, the Dublin Guinness Brewery are now quite optimistic that in the long term, biogas can be a suitable fuel source for them to use in the brewery. The second asset that Credit financed on the farm, a combined heat and power plant, or CHP for short, is a system that harnesses the biogas produced during anaerobic digestion to generate both electricity and heat simultaneously. So the electricity can be used to power facilities or even sold back to the grid, while the excess heat can be utilized for various processes, like heating buildings or supporting industrial operations. For many organizations, CHP is the measure that offers the most significant single opportunity to reduce energy costs and to improve environmental performance. Existing users of CHP typically see a saving of around 20% of their energy costs, so huge savings to be had. As discussed in previous briefings, it's important for us to showcase Credet's core principle of funding Irish companies. We take pride in being part of the growth stories and how our clients can seize on opportunities to grow their business, especially in the topical area of sustainability and renewables, all with the help of Credet Investor Funds. I hope you found this presentation interesting. I will now pass you over to George, who will discuss some of the potential deals that DealDesk are reviewing and will hopefully happen in the future.
Thank you, Robert. And good afternoon, everyone. So it has been a highly fruitful few weeks on the deal desk. We're currently speaking to some very good quality international originators. One such example is a company based in United Arab Emirates, which sources chemicals from suppliers in Germany, France, Hungary, and United States, and sells them to customers in Germany. Interestingly, this company happens to be an independent calibration laboratory with a state-of-the-art facility in United Arab Emirates. They are also a market leader for instrument calibration, servicing customers all over the Gulf. They are essentially calibration masters in the field of electrical equipment, temperature equipment, pressure equipment, and virtually all special purpose instruments of all ranges. For example, pressure sensors, temperature sensors, level indicators, and pH meters. Another very interesting originator we are currently speaking to is based in Singapore. He sells CCTV systems and camera equipment from the UK to customers that are based in Saudi Arabia. So in the deal we're currently speaking about, this CCTV system will serve as an integral security system for a very well-established world-class engineering, procurement and construction company, which is headquartered in Abu Dhabi and operates throughout the Arabian Gulf, South Asia and Southeast Asia. So the originator is also a highly competent engineering consultancy firm that specializes in telecommunication systems, in safety systems, security systems and cyber security systems also. They also provide consultancy within various industries, including energy, construction, utilities, mining, transportation, infrastructure, defense, and the marine industry also. We're also seeing a steady flow of potential originators in the shipping industry also. One such example is an Indian company that plans to expand its fleet by 5 vessels in the next number of months. This company was founded in Mumbai in 2000. Since then, they have positioned themselves as a market leader of offshore solutions in the offshore energy industry. The first project we are discussing with them is the purchase of a 13-year-old anchor handling offshore support vessel, which will be chartered to their clients to support their offshore needs. After this first purchase, they plan to buy a further 4 anchor handling tug vessels. This project will possibly be in early 2024. We are also speaking to a shipping company based in Cyprus who currently own 3 handy-sized vessels but plan to expand their fleet by purchasing a bulk carrier over the next few months. This company has been specializing basically in dry bulk since 1999, with its current fleet featuring a state-of-the-art dry bulk carriers capable of transporting a wide range of commodities around the globe. So the deal desk and indeed our company take pride in having traditional business values. Some may call us a tad old-fashioned, however, we are also interested in innovation, putting ourselves at the forefront of new technologies. So on the deal desk, we speak to all manner of business people, and many of them with vastly innovative new ideas. One such company we're speaking to is a company based in United Arab Emirates and is currently in the process of creating a car that charges itself through solar panels, effectively utilizing the sun to power the vehicle. Despite this technology and idea being of great interest to us, and keeping in mind the global energy crisis and climate change issues, this is a very new project, very much in the research stage, and therefore not something we can help with right now. However, we plan to stay in contact with this originator, as we believe, you know, it is quite possible that technology such as this will be quite prominent in the future. As the originator explained to me, what they plan to do is to cut out the middleman, so to speak, to get the power into the car directly from the sun, which of course fundamentally is the source of all of Earth's energy. And as he joked to me also, they get plenty of sun in UAE also. So rest assured, we'll be keeping in contact with this originator, and we will look with eagerness at the progression he makes in this field. Lastly, as I have discussed solar energy here today, I would like to share an interesting fact with the audience, which may or may not be of interest. There actually is, in fact, enough solar energy hitting the Earth every single hour to meet all of humanity's power needs for an entire year. So that's the scale of the opportunity we see in the future of solar energy, if, of course, we can find ways, effective ways, to harness this. So thank you very much, everybody, and over to you now, Ruby.
Thanks, George. As always, it's nice to hear about some of the deals that you and the deal desk are looking at. Hopefully, we'll be talking about some of these deals in our trade section in the near future. As discussed before, Credit will continue to watch closely to what is going on in the world when looking to write new business. Trades that have a major relevance in today's current affairs will always be available, as they are what the market is focusing on. If we take a look at the seaborne reports that cover the major activities that affect shipping and the economy, we see that the price caps on Russian oil that we spoke about in the last briefing have jumped between $2 to $3 above the $60 price cap that was put into effect by the US. These price caps, as discussed, were implemented to avoid supply disruption by keeping Russian oil flowing while also limiting revenue for Russia. The United Nations are also hoping to revive their Black Sea grain deal with Russia after Russia quit this deal back in July after just 1 year of implementing it. The UN are relying on this grain deal as their own food and fertilizer exports have faced many obstacles and not enough Ukrainian grain is going to countries in need. The UN are actively engaging in trying to improve Russia's grain and fertilizer exports in a bid to convince Moscow to allow the Black Sea export of Ukrainian grain once again. Moving on to China, there has been a surge in China's oil imports in August as refiners built inventories and increased processing to benefit from higher profits from exporting these fuels. Imports were up 15% in the first 8 months of 2023. And it was recorded that there were over 12 million barrels per day shipped to China in the month of August, making the daily rate the third highest ever. Refinery run rates are continually increasing, said Zhu Peng, a products analyst at JLC Commodities, adding that diesel export margins are good and higher diesel exports will continue. China's coal output has also risen in August by 2% from a year earlier, after tightening safety measures that are currently in operations at major mining hubs across the country. NBS data also showed that so far in 2023, China's total output was just a little over 3 billion tonnes, a 3.5% increase over the previous year. To finish off this section, Seaborne's report once again holds steady their figures regarding the changes to the global fleet, with both the Handymax and the Panamax set to lose over 15% of their fleet in the next 5 years, with their future order book not sufficient enough to replace this loss. If we now look to the Baltic Index, it had an unsteady start to the month, starting at 1,150, dipping just slightly for the first few days to a low of 1,122. During the middle part of the month, it had levelled off and reached back to 1,152. The middle of the month is when the Baltic Index reached its peak to 1,252. This peak didn't last much long, for very long, as it continued to slip and reached a low of 1,087 to finish the month off. Hopefully we can see the index stabilise and increase for this half of the year. The index is currently standing at 1,694 as of today, and the FFA markets have increased since the previous briefing. The current spot price is $13,250 compared to $10,700 per day in August, with quarter four of this year rising above $13,500. Quarter one of 2024 is still remaining low as of our last briefing at 9,800, but the prices for quarter two 2024 are increasing back up to $12,000. On the economic front, we see that the European Central Bank have just announced its 10th increased rate hike since July of last year, with many hinting that the rates may now be at their peak. In a statement released on Thursday afternoon by the Central Bank, they suggested these rates have reached their peak, and if they are maintained for a long duration, we will see the Eurozone inflation return to the 2% mark that the bank is aiming for. The ECB stated that in order to reinforce progress towards its target, the Governing Council decided to raise the ECB rates by 0.5 basis points. The euro fell to a three-month low against the dollar after the announcement of these increased rates and has caused the ECB deposit rate to climb above the previous record high back in 2001. The ECB lifted its forecast for inflation for this year from 5.4% to 5.6% and from 3% to 3.2% in 2024. They have cut its 2025 inflation forecast down by 0.1%, bringing it to 2.1%, while saying price growth was still expected to remain too high for too long. There is no doubt that the sharp rise in interest rates is one of the factors that has slowed down the Eurozone economy, along with the war in Ukraine, the surge in energy prices and the cost of living crisis. If we take a look at the UK, the Bank of England raised its key interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point to a 15-year peak of 5.2%. Unlike the US or the European Central Bank, who, as we spoke about, both increased their rates, the Bank of England gave little suggestion that the increased rates were about to end as it battles high inflation. The chief economist at the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development said that the UK had seen slightly higher inflation than previously expected, and that the Bank of England was taking the right action in raising rates to tackle it. The Bank of England has put up rates 14 times since 2021, and they are expected to increase them again before the year ends. The UK remains on course to have the highest inflation of leading economies in 2023, according to the chief economist. They have forecasted that the country's inflation problems will be increased considerably compared to other countries. The UK's headline inflation rate was set to average 7.2% over 2023, which was up from a previous forecast of 6.9% made by the organisation back in June. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has promised to halve inflation by the end of this year, meaning that the rates would need to fall from around 7% now to around 5% in December compared with the same months last year. Although these rates have increased significantly over the course of the year, the organisation have updated projections that suggest British inflation is set to slow to 2.9% in 2024. If we take a look at Switzerland, we see their central bank has unexpectedly left their interest rates unchanged, saying past hikes were countering inflation, but still warning that more increases may still be needed. The Swiss bank kept the rate at 1.75%. But warned that it cannot be ruled out that a further increase to interest rates may become necessary to ensure price stability over the rest of the year. Most analysts had expected the rates to be increased by an additional quarter point following the announcement of the central bank rates. Inflation in Switzerland has dipped below the 2% mark since June of this year and last month it fell to 1.6% in line with the central bank's rates. The Swiss bank left its inflation outlook unchanged at 2.2% for 2023 and 2024, while lowering it for 2025 to 1.9%, down from its initial forecast of 2.1% back in June. Now for this section, I will discuss the briefing itself. You will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 49.75 million euro with 68.34 million euro fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that credit index has increased last month to 86. As discussed at previous briefings, this is distorted by one originator settling old invoices. The trading figure for the month was 15.35 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully utilised. Treasury performance increased from the month previous to 14 million euro for month 8, and the exchange's performance continues to be ahead of all prior years by 8.96%. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from the likes of the HSE and EKFB. At the top of the list is Balfour Beatty and Skanska Costain, the same as the month prior. These are two of our mining debtors involved in HS2. This is Balfour Beatty's 7th month in a row on the list and Skanska's 8th, being the two largest holdings on the exchange. Flynn Ventures is a new addition this month, and EKFB makes another appearance back in the top 10 largest ETR holdings, along with aggregate industries in our top 10 rated, representing our mining trades. Our donut graphs are showing a well-diversified spread of investments, with the largest section in wholesale and retail, construction and hospitality, with health and community as well at the top. These sectors have well-known debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and reoccurring ones as well as new debtors being added. As we can see from previous briefings, EKFB is our main debtor representing the construction section, with the HSE and Lucan Lodge representing the health and community section. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed by credit. If we look to the performance sector now, we see that month 8 in 2023 versus month 8 in 2022 was down 39.03%, with 15.3 million euro traded for August of 2023 compared to 25.1 million euro traded in August for 2022. Volumes remain down this month at 18.5%. as the value to volume ratio increases in line with higher value and quality traded ETRs. Investor redemptions increased in August compared to last month at 1.2 million euro. The credit index increased to 86, and for the 6th month in a row, a mining trade with the HS2 project in the UK was our single largest trade at 3.2 million GBP. Our trend section shows the interest rate for the month running outside of the current demand fixed and term rates. As you will all know from previous months, we have increased our investable rates on offer for the three products. With Bank of Ireland's increased deposit rates last month and the increasing rates from the European Central Bank, we will continue to monitor the market. So if banks continue to increase their rates, we too will continue to increase ours so that your investors retain the advantage of investing with us. Our rates currently now stand at demand at 4.25%, fixed at 5% for 12 months, and term at 19% at the end of the 36 months. This section further discusses how demand for investable is below where it should be, but with a combination of the new rates and exchange traded securities, which many of you have had discussed with Patrick over the last few days, it's predicted the imbalance will be rectified. And as before, the briefing document ends with the RSA figure of 49.75 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for August 2023.